Jude chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on.
Hey, if you're tuning in right now, maybe Sunday's sunlight streaming through the window, maybe midnight static coming on your radio. I want to welcome you to the Semi-Seminarian, where grace doesn't wear a necktie and every story has a little bit of dirt under its nails. I've got a question, though, that will rattle your comfort. What if the very thing you thought disqualified you is the very thing Jesus wants to use to wake up the world? See, today we're talking about mud. Not the tidy, sterilized kind, but the spit and dust kind, the kind that ruins your shoes and just might save your soul. What if you let Jesus get mud on your face right in front of God and everybody? Would you do it? Or are you still trying to keep your Sunday best spotless, for God is not afraid to kneel in the dirt? This episode, Mud and Mercy, How Jesus Turns Our Need for Answers into the Gift of Sight, isn't about easy answers or polished religion. It's about getting honest, getting healed, and maybe, just maybe, finding sight in the last place you'd look. Something in this old gospel rattles your cage or stirs your memory, don't keep it to yourself. Share it, like it, subscribe, drop a comment. Pass it on to a friend who needs a little dirt and a lot of grace. Let's walk this story together. I'll see you on the other side. No, I think it's great. Okay, so I had just mentioned we've been doing parables on Wednesday nights, and we have been doing the signs on Sunday. What am I talking about? We've been talking about in the book of John, there are several signs John points to about Jesus, things that Jesus does that to John are proof that he would like to show you about Jesus being the Messiah. So within the gospel account, according to John, there is this little portion within the early part of the book that theologians call the Book of Signs. And these stories kind of go one after the other. And unintentionally, I've just started doing them one after the other. So we first started talking about Cana. And we learned about grace can come to us as unexpected and overabundant joy. We learned about the healing of the invalid at the sheep gate, if you guys remember that. And how grace sometimes can go to the most unexpected places and break religious rules. And we're going to find that same kind of situation again here today. We're going to look at this story about Jesus healing the blind man with mud. And we also, I also want to point out that if anyone ever asks you, does your preacher actually down there preach any Bible? Well, I want you to know your preacher does. We're going to go through about 40 verses of text today, but we're going to break it up. But the point being, this whole story has to be told because this thing is a banger from beginning to end. So we don't want to cut any part of this out. This every bit of this teaches us something. So we're going to cut it into little slices, but we're going to hear this whole story. So we're going to begin right at the beginning. Attune your ears, my dear friends. Open the door of your heart. The Spirit still speaks when the word is read aloud. This is the gospel, the account of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and the disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. It means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he's like him." He kept saying, "I am the man, it's me." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had already formerly been blind. And there, friends, we will pause the reading, but the story is still humming in the dust and in your bones. Let the word find a place to rest in you while we walk further. This is something preachers never, ever say from the pulpit in a sermon. But let's let our minds wander. You're walking the ancient stones of Jerusalem, the city humming with dust, rumor, and memory. Every street is thick with stories, every shadow holding a prayer someone gave up on years ago. You try to keep pace with Jesus, this rabbi who moves with purpose, but never rushes past a hurting soul. He stops, not for the strong, not for the pious, but for the one the city has learned to step around. A man born blind, sitting in the dust, as ordinary and as overlooked as the stones of the wall themselves. It's the disciples who voice what everybody is thinking. "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he be born blind?" That question, blame hunting, trying to make suffering manageable, lives in our bones. Because if you can explain pain, maybe you can keep it from your own door. But Jesus refuses the ledger. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. No punishment, just possibility. Jesus kneels, he spits in the dirt, makes mud, kneads it into the eyes of a man who's never seen a sunrise, never read a face, and said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." No spectacle, just mud and mercy. You watch the man stumble through the crowd, mud drying on his cheeks. Nobody offers to guide him. Sometimes grace comes without witnesses. And then he's back, blinking, laughing, seeing everything for the first time. And the neighborhood doesn't know what to do. Some say it's him. Others, it can't be. He insists, "Yes, it's me." And they press him. "Well, how did it happen?" And he tells the truth. Very simple. "Jesus, mud, wash. Now I see." They want a map, a formula, a reason. He just has this story. And that story is about to unsettle every certainty in the room. So they haul him to the Pharisees. You'd think a miracle would quiet the noise, but instead it stirs it up. The city is buzzing. Blame is in the air. And what should have been a quiet healing is now a storm gathering over the dust. Once more, attune your ears and steady your hearts. The dust is swirling. The Spirit is near. We return to the Word, John 9:14-27. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees say, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How could a man who is a sinner do such things?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" Imagine. His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself." Parenthetically, John gives us a little piece of inside baseball here. That's why it looks like this in Scripture. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess that Jesus is the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who'd been born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. Only one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Thus ends this part of the reading. May the questions linger. May the truth trouble the waters, for the story is not done yet. Now you're back in the crowd, shoulder to shoulder, with anxiety and confusion. What started out as a mercy has become a courtroom drama. You feel the heat rising. The healed man, blinking in the light, is brought before the men who run the show. The Sabbath law hangs in the air as heavy as the dust. You know what's at stake. Mud on the wrong day can get you stoned to death, not celebrated. The Pharisees, keepers of certainty, guardians of the gate, lean in. "How did you receive your sight?" "He put mud on my eyes. I washed. I see." Simple, but not safe. You hear the schism in the room. Some mutter, "Not from God, broke the Sabbath." Others quietly, "But how could a sinner do this?" No one says what they're really thinking. If this is true, the world just got bigger and the old lines just got blurry. They press him for theology. He's just got testimony. He's a prophet. It's the best word he's got. And you could see him standing up, straighter and straighter. The more honest he gets, the more dangerous it becomes. They summon the parents. You watch their faces lined, tired, afraid. Is this your son? Was he really born blind? How does he see? And they hedge, terrified. Don't make us choose between our child and our community. So, back to the healed man. The circle is closing. Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. He shrugs off their categories. Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. The only thing I know is I was blind and I see. And that line continues to shake the whole room every single time he says it. You feel it because that testimony is much more powerful than an argument. But they're not finished. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And you see his patience beginning to wear thin. I've told you already. You wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And you could feel the shift there. I saw some of you smile. What started out as fear has now become a boldness, even humor. He's no longer in the shadows. He's standing right in the center of the storm, and you're right there with him, and you realize grace always stirs things up before it settles anything down. And sometimes the price of seeing is being seen and being pushed out. You watch. Its tension reaches a breaking point. The healed man is cast out, but he walks out taller than he came in. Sometimes getting thrown out is what it takes to really belong. One last time, dear friends, attune your ears, all ye with weary ears. Let the Spirit blow through the static and the silence. This is the closing of the story. John chapter 9, verses 28 through 41. And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he's the one that opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and he does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus had heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." Thus ends the reading of the word, but the story is never over for those willing to see. Let this word haunt you, heal you, and lead you back home. You stand at the edge of the crowd, dust swirling around your sandals, the air full of accusation and revelation. The Pharisees, red-faced and rigid, snap at the man, "You're his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he comes from." And the healed man who started this day in utter darkness now stands in the light of his own courage. That's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he's the one who opened my eyes since the world has begun, the former blind man says. Nobody has done that. If this man weren't from God, could he do something like that? Of course he couldn't. You guys would have to agree with that. And you don't know where this man came from? You can feel the tables turning. The ones with all of the answers are now exposed as the blind. And the one with only a testimony stands in the light. And they cast him out. Not just out of the room, out of belonging. But the story doesn't end there. Grace comes looking for him. Jesus finds him on the edge where the cast outs gather. "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who's he? You've seen him. He's speaking to you." And in that moment, a man who had never seen before looks his Savior in the eyes and says, "I believe." And you standing on the edge, heart pounding, realize the greatest blindness is thinking you know everything. And the truest sign comes to those who trust Jesus to meet them, sometimes in the mud. So, what do you see now that this story's been told? Are you still hunting for someone to blame? Or are you willing to let grace get a little mud in your eyes? Maybe the miracle isn't in seeing clearly, but being seen, loved, named, sent out, found again. Sometimes the clearest vision is born out of dirt, out of trouble, out of mercy you never saw coming. Maybe you leave here willing to walk through the dust, to let Jesus put mud on your eyes, and to testify, come what may, "I was blind, but now I see." Amen? Amen. So now the dust's beginning to settle and the question still hangs in the air like the scent of rain and red earth. What do you see now that the story's been told? Are you willing to let grace make a mess of your answers? Or will you hold tight to your certainty and miss the miracle? There's a reckoning in the gospel of mud and mercy. Sometimes it's not your spotless record, but your open wounds that God chooses for his canvas. Man born blind didn't ask for the dirt, didn't argue for a miracle. He just received it. And when the world wanted answers, all he had was a story. "I was blind, but now I see." It's not just ancient history. It's your invitation. Maybe you've spent years dodging the mess, hiding your need, or blaming yourself for things you couldn't fix. But here's the hope and the sting. Jesus meets you right in the in-between, gets his hands dirty, and says, "Let me show you something new." If this story spoke to your soul, if it unsettled, comforted, called you out, don't walk away in silence. Share it with someone walking down their own dusty road. Subscribe, leave a comment, join the porch front conversation wherever you listen, and as you go, may the mud and the mercy of Jesus open your eyes, trouble your certainties, bring you home blinking and new to the grace that waits at the edge of every question. Amen.
Chapter 6. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on..."